This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carry into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 9 through to 13. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of God.
Thank you. Well, it's really great to be here today. It's a privilege to come and preach God's word. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. My name's Will. I work for City Bible Forum. City Bible Forum is a mission organisation, and instead of sending missionaries overseas, we send missionaries into the cities of Australia. And the missionaries aren't people who've studied for multiple years at Bible college. They're people like you who are going into those workplaces anyway. So that's what we do. We mobilise, equip, and send people into their workplaces to be missionaries in the workplace. As was mentioned earlier, I am a member of Crossroads Presbyterian Church. I'm an elder there, and I'm married to Shiloh, who some of you may know, Shiloh, formerly Isham. And we have a little boy called Peregrine, and we have a little girl, as yet unnamed, on the way, arriving in November, which we're very excited about. So the topic of today's talk is how to do evangelism. And there's 1,000 different ways that you can do evangelism. And I just want to take you through some of the stuff that we do at City Bible Forum that might be useful for you in your context. Okay, so here's the problem. When was the last time that you had a deep theological discussion with someone? Now, if you're connected with Pilgrim Hill, you might say, all the time when I go up to Pilgrim Hill and connect with the valley workers who go up and stay there. But if not, you may say, well, I had a lot of those conversations at university, or I had a lot of those conversations when I was in this other context. But since then, it's been hard to have deep theological discussions with people, because it's just not something that people in my workplace are expecting. It's not something that the other parents, when I pick up the kids, are expecting to have a deep theological discussion. And so what I'm going to talk about today in addressing that problem is designed initially for the workplace, because that's what City Bible Forum does. We equip people to have these kind of engagements centered around the workplace. But I want to say, with a little bit of translation on your part, you can adapt this for your context, be it a social group that you're a part of, be it your neighbours or other parents of kids at the school. And the way that I'm going to break this down is I'm going to give you two tools that you can use and a guarantee. Now, with those two tools, there's a passive tool, there's an active tool, and then, of course, there's a guarantee. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christian or you're not sure, and you may be thinking, oh no, I'm here on a week where they're talking about evangelism. Why would I want to be here talking about evangelism when I don't even know if I agree with this stuff? I'm just here because someone invited me. Actually, I want to say that I haven't forgotten you, and there's some really helpful stuff here for you too. So I want to draw your attention as we go through to what this talk says about the nature and purpose of work, as well as who Jesus is and what relationship is being offered to you with God. So stay tuned. Don't zone out just because we're talking about evangelism, which if you're not familiar with the term, evangelism just means going out and telling the good news of Jesus Christ. All right, so point one, the first tool in the toolkit is the passive tool, be a blessing. Be a blessing in whatever context that you find yourself. Now, a moment ago we had Jeremiah 29 read out. And the context of Jeremiah 29 is that much of Israel has found themselves taken out of Israel, taken out of Jerusalem. And they're in exile in the land of their enemy. And they're thinking, they're struggling with the problem of, well, what do we do in this place where the values are so different, where the gods are foreign to us? Should we withdraw? Should we go into our own little community and bunker down and refuse to engage with the outside world? Or should we rebel? Should we fight our way out? And this is what Jeremiah preaches in God's name into that context. He preaches, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. So that's a resounding no to withdrawing into your little communities or fighting your way out. He says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. You see, here he's rejecting the idea that we should disengage with the broken institutions around us, that the city is corrupt, so we should just have nothing to do with it. We can seek the good of fallen, broken institutions, like your workplace. Your workplace is an institution, and it is, in many ways, not living up to the best that it could be and how God designed creation to be. Same with community organizations that you might be a part of, or politics, or schools, or families even. We can still engage with these institutions and seek their peace and prosperity. I want to give you an example of this. So one of the workers that has been involved with City Bible Forum, his name is Mark, and he works for a part of the government providing advice on policy. And his focus at work has just been to keep his head down and just work and be really good at his job and just bless the workplace around him, bless Tasmania through his work. And he's been with City Bible Forum praying for opportunities to reach the people around him with the good news. But very much just focused on, let's just do the best job I can providing policy advice to the government. One day in a team meeting, his boss said to the whole team, this issue that we're dealing with at the moment is very sensitive to Christians, so if you want to know what Christians think about it, ask Mark. And Mark was very surprised because he'd never had any conversations like that with his boss. He didn't even know that his boss knew that he was a Christian. And afterwards, Mark's boss came up to him and said, I'm so sorry, I should have checked with you first. I didn't know if it was something you wanted to keep private that you're a Christian. And Mark was able to say, no, that was awesome. I'm really excited. I hope people do talk to me and ask me for my opinion on, or for my perspective, my Christian perspective on this issue. And of course, people did come up to him and did ask him for his perspective. But here's the important, interesting thing. They weren't interested in his perspective on those policy issues. they brought things to him that were important to them, that revealed their values, questions of life, suffering, meaning, eternity. And that opportunity came just by working hard, using the gifts that God had given him to bless the workplace around him. Now, how can we apply this in our lives? Well, whatever environment that you're in, how can you do your best? How can you bless the creation around you? Bless what God has, where God has sent you. Bless the context that God has called you to. If you're in the workplace, do your job as well as you can. The way most workplaces are, you may have noticed this, if you are not working hard at your job, it's really, really hard to speak with any authority on other matters. It's hard to have the credibility to share your faith if you're not working as hard as you can in your job. Now, that might be raising a red flag for you, because if some jobs are really, really hard, and you might be worried, well, what if I'm not very good at my job? Well, that's okay. I'm not saying you have to be the best, you have to be amazing, you have to be the leader. I'm just saying, with the skills that God has given you, where He's called you, just do your best and bless the people around you with humility, with love. Whatever environment that you're in, whatever communities that you're in, bless them and love them and help them thrive and succeed. Next, and this is kind of related to the first one, let the ethic of the Bible inform how you live out your existence in that community. So with humility, with love, with servant-heartedness, bless your colleagues by bringing a little glimpse of what you've learnt in your faith into the workplace, and that way seek the peace and the prosperity of the city. And then finally, be prepared to share. You might be like Mark, just minding your own business, and one day you just get thrust into the spotlight and all of a sudden people are asking you to share. He was prepared to share because he had been praying for this opportunity for years at this point. Now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way and think that this will always lead to opportunities to share. It's not like that. You could work for years in the same place, work hard, have a Bible on your desk so people know that you're a Christian, and no one ever asks you about that. And that's okay. That's okay. God will bless the workplace through you, and that is a blessing from God in itself. Now, if you're not a Christian here today, and you're wondering, well, what's in this for me right now? Well, I want you to think, what are your assumptions about work? What are your presuppositions about work? Is work a place where you go to bless other people? Is that something that is a challenge to you, or is that something that connects well with what you've already thought? Either way, I want you to think about, well, this is what the Bible holds out as the purpose of work, or one of the purposes of work, that you are there to bless seek the peace and prosperity of the city through your work. So I'd like you to take that away from today as something to either wrestle with or to see how that connects with the Christian faith. Okay, so far we've got be good at your job. Okay, so what does that actually achieve? It's a blessing, fantastic, but in terms of evangelism, what does it actually achieve? Well, so that was the passive tool. That was the easy one, perhaps. Now let's look at the active tool. The active tool is be relational. Be relational. Be intentionally relational in the way that you do your work. So we had some of Matthew 9 read out before. And the context of Matthew 9 is Jesus is eating with the wrong people. He is eating with the tax collectors, the sinners, the people you really, really shouldn't eat with, the people you shouldn't be associated with. So just take a moment in your own context to think about who would it be really shocking if you had a meal with? If you told your family, hey, I had a meal with such and such, and they said, really? Why? I yesterday told my sister that I had been at a breakfast event with a politician from a party that she is just from her heart opposed to. And she was just flabbergasted. And she said, why would you have breakfast with him? And I told her the context, but she was just absolutely shocked that I would stoop so low as to have breakfast with this politician that she can't stand. Well, this is like that and much worse from the Pharisees' perspective. Because the Pharisees, they are the ones who you should be having a meal with. They're the religious elite. And they ask the question with scorn, why do you eat with them? And Jesus says, because a doctor goes to where the sick are. The doctor has to go to the sick. I'm going to heal them through community. Now, I should just point out, I wasn't trying to heal that politician by having breakfast with him. That was unrelated. You see, Jesus didn't wait for the sinners to turn up the temple to get healed. These sinners, tax collectors, collaborating with the Romans, collaborating with the oppressors, they wouldn't have been welcome at the temple. Even if they had thought of going to the temple, they would have been seen as just the worst people, not welcome. And Jesus is showing that these people, despite what the world thinks about them, have value, have real value. In this ancient context, having a meal with somebody meant so much more than just friendship. It meant community, it meant family even, in a big way. And you may experience this when you invite people to come along to church. People feel a little bit apprehensive sometimes if they don't have a church background, or if they've had a really negative church background. They don't know what to expect. They might feel unwelcome. They might feel that they're going to be judged when they go in. And now I know, because I know so many of you, and I've had so many great interactions with Redeemer, that anybody walking in here would be made so welcome, regardless of their background. But that doesn't help, because they don't necessarily know that. When you invite them, when you're at work or in another context, and you say, hey, would you like to come to my church? It's really welcoming. They don't necessarily know that. And we really want them to come to church, but maybe we need to go into community with them first. There was some really interesting research done a couple of years alongside the census by a group called McCrindle Research, which you may have heard of. And they looked into what are the big attractors to faith and what are the big detractors or turn-offs to faith. And it was really surprising, some of the things that they discovered. So they mapped out the top attractors and the worst detractors or repellents to Christianity or to spirituality in general. And I just want to focus on a couple of them here. If you can see that, the top attractor is seeing people who genuinely live out their faith. And also stories or testimonies from people who have changed due to their faith. And then down the bottom, the biggest repellent is hearing from public figures and celebrities about their faith. Isn't that interesting? They want to hear from you. They don't want to hear from the celebrities. You can't just leave it all to the celebrities. They want to hear from you. It's you that they're interested in. They're interested in community with you and building trust with you. I want to tell you a little bit about coffee, dinner, gospel. So that's a bit of a catchphrase that we have at City Bible Forum, coffee, dinner, gospel. So my friend Simon, I met him while working at the university in the exams department. Now, in the exams office, every semester, during exams, there's these lovely little old ladies running up and down the aisles of students working hard at their exams. And they're making sure that you don't cheat, but also bringing you a dictionary if you need to look up a word. And Simon and I were two of those little old ladies for a couple of years. And we instantly became friends because we were two of the only males and two of the only ones under 60 in that team. And so we got to know each other. So I invited him to coffee, and he had his chai latte, and I had my decaf lactose-free flat white. We were both very happy. And we got to know each other and sussed each other out a little bit and talked about work. And then after we'd done that a couple of times, I invited him to come have dinner with me and my wife, and he brought his wife and his two boys, who were 17 and 19 at that stage. And because our families were there, they didn't want to talk about work. They weren't interested in our work anymore because we'd talked about work every day already, and they wanted to find out about each other. And the sort of things that we talked about were things that revealed our values. And so we talked about community, integrity, that kind of thing. And what they discovered about me and my wife is that faith was something that was very important to us. And out of that came more opportunities to talk about faith and more opportunities to share the gospel. So we went from coffee to dinner to gospel. Coffee is just to suss each other out, make sure the other one's not a weirdo, and then the dinner is where you get to know them, find out about their values, find out about what makes them tick, and that leads to opportunities to talk about faith and to talk about things like the gospel. Now, I should say this is not the only way to share the gospel. This is not the only way. But this is a way that has worked really, really well for me and my friend Simon. At the moment with Simon, I'm meeting him once a fortnight. We're meeting in a cafe with a couple of other friends, and we're doing something called a hope group where we look, where we encourage each other through what we're going through throughout the pandemic, as well as look to the stories from the life of Jesus for stories of hope. And it's been brilliant, and he's engaging more and more with Jesus, which is fantastic. There are plenty of other ways to get to sharing the gospel with people, but this is something that I've found works particularly well. Now, how to apply this? Well, I want to ask you, in whatever context you find yourself, are you waiting for a miracle? Are you waiting for someone to come up to you and say, "Hey, I heard that you're a Christian. Do you have any books on that I can read? Fantastic, here's my Tim Keller book. Yep, great, done. Okay, sorted." And I want to tell you that that's not how it works. That's not going to happen. But if you are relational and intentional about your relationships at work, in your communities, then you can have more opportunities to build that trust that comes with spending time with other people, and more opportunities to then share the gospel. So let's apply it. The first thing that I would encourage you to do is, well, let's look back to the reading for a moment. Why do you eat with them? Why them? Look for the sick. Who are the sick in your context that you can eat with? Not just the people who are going to help your career, or not just the people who, you know, will always pick up the tab for coffee, perhaps, but who are the sick in your context that might be open to a relationship, a friendship, and building trust? You can look for what Luke calls Jesus calls in Luke, the people of peace. Who are the people of peace in your organizational community who are open, who have maybe asked questions to you, I think this is a really stereotypical story. I've heard it a million times myself, but now I get to tell it, which was, I got a haircut this week, and the hairdresser was just so open to talking about spirituality. She was really, really interested. And I thought that was just, you know, a total cliche, but she was really, really interested. And she was certainly presented as a person of peace, somebody who is open to hearing about the gospel. And while I was there, I was praying, how fantastic would it be, God, if I could get her connected to another Christian woman her age so they could start building some trust and friendship. And as I was praying that, a woman who's connected with City Bible Forum, who is about the same age, who is a really, really keen Christian, walked past, waved at me, and then for the first time in my life, I had somebody gate crash my haircut. And she came in and she said, oh, so nice to see you, Will. Also, hey, my auntie used to live in this place when it was a house. And the hairdresser was like, this is amazing. I want to find out more. Can we meet up for coffee? And I was like, that was too easy, God. So who are the people of peace that you can just build that connection with, who you can be open to? Not just the Pharisees, not just the people who are expecting it. Now, I want to warn you not to turn this into your evangelism project. That this person, I'm going to be friends with them because I'm going to evangelize them. Because friendship is actually a blessing from God. And every time that I meet up with my friend Simon, I am blessed by the friendship that we share. And it is a good that God has provided me through Simon, and it is good that he has provided to Simon through me. And so enjoy the friendship. Don't just think of them as a project that I have to solve. They're not a problem to solve. They're created by God, and God wants you to bless them. Now, if you're not a Christian, well, then let this be a model to you of what community can be. Jesus wants community with you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. If you identify with the sinners, with the tax collectors, with maybe the people who are rejected, then God wants to have dinner with you, no matter what you've done. So take that away with you today and say, whatever my background is, Jesus, as I can see in this scripture here, is inviting me into community. Is that something that you would like? Now, you may be thinking, I'm loving this talk so far because so far I just have to be good at my job, and it doesn't actually sound like there's any real evangelism. I just got to have coffee with people and be friends with them. Sounds pretty easy. Okay? Great. All right, well, let's go on to the next part, because I've actually saved the best part for last, which is also step one. We're going now to step one. And that is, God hears your prayers. Now, that might seem like an obvious thing to say, but God hears your prayers. I want to have another look at a little bit of another scripture, an extra scripture, which you may have heard before. It's called the parable of the unjust judge in some translations. And here's the context. So there's a lady who wants to get justice, and so she goes to a judge and pleads her case, but this judge is corrupt, and she can't pay the bribe to get justice. So he tells her, until you pay me, I'm not going to give you justice. Go away. And she keeps coming back and keeps coming back until the judge is just so sick of her face that he says, all right, I will judge your case. I will give you justice if you just leave me alone. And Jesus says, will not then God give justice to his elect? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. This is a guarantee that God will hear your prayers. Praying is powerful, and God always hears your prayers. He always listens and he works through your prayers. Sometimes he may give you exactly what you asked for and more, which is like when I was praying at the hairdresser. Other times he may do a work in your heart. Other times he may have something even better planned. Pray to him earnestly and regularly, and he will hear you and he will act rightly. That is the guarantee. I want to tell you a little bit about a big part of what City Bible Forum does, which is called evangelistic prayer teams. And this is groups of about 4 or 5 people who meet up in a cafe or in a home or in a workplace, and they pray regularly for about half an hour for someone that they know who's not a Christian. They pray to bless the workplace, they pray for the peace and the prosperity of the city, and they pray for a particular person who they would like to share their faith with. One of the very first evangelistic prayer teams that we set up, there was a member who had recently joined a new workplace. And he was feeling a bit anxious because he hadn't yet shared with his colleagues that he was a Christian. And he was worried that if he left it too late, that it might feel a little bit weird, that, you know, his colleagues might say, "That's weird that you're only telling us that now." And so we prayed for this guy. We prayed that he would have an opportunity to share that he was a Christian. And so we found out next week that he went back to his office, sat down at his desk, and someone came up to him and said, "Hey, I heard that you're a Christian. Do you have any books on that that I could read?" We were completely shocked. We shouldn't have been shocked because we just prayed for that, but we were completely shocked when we heard that. Another team member of a different group tells us that what he really gets out of the regular prayer is that it keeps him focused during the week. It keeps him focused because he knows at the end of the week he's going to be meeting again with some of his other friends who are Christians to pray for the people in his workplace. And it gives him clarity during the week that this is what God's purpose for him is in this workplace. And it actively encourages him to do things like coffee, dinner, gospel, to build those intentional relationships. And the other great thing about it is the prayer reinforces those first two parts, which is the passive tool, be a blessing, the active tool, and what they do is meeting up together, praying for the workplace, seeking the peace and the prosperity of the city. They find that God is working through their prayers. So I want to give you an opportunity to join an evangelistic prayer team. Maybe that's an application that you can take out of this. Join an evangelistic prayer team. Start an evangelistic prayer team. If you work in the city, well, there's a likelihood that there's already evangelistic prayer teams that are happening near you. If you don't work or you work in Huonville or around, well, then why not look for other people around you who are Christians who might want to join together and pray? Or you could incorporate it into your prayer in your small groups, or in your church prayer meetings, looking for opportunities to bless your workplace, seek the peace and prosperity of the city, and to share the gospel with other people who don't know Jesus yet. And be ready for God to answer those prayers, because he does. Look, I've given you cherry-picked 2 prayers that got answered in an amazingly fantastical, supernatural way. And there's heaps of prayers that we pray long-term, and we don't know exactly what God is doing. But what we do know is that God will act rightly. That is the guarantee. Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, what can you take out of this?
I want to encourage you that God wants to hear from you. God wants to hear your prayers. I said before that he wants to be in community with you, and that's true. He wants to be in community with you, and he wants you to be in personal relationship with him. If you pray to God, he will hear you. So why not try that? You don't need to know any special words. You don't need to have any special knowledge. You can just start talking to God. I want to encourage you, if you've never done that before, why not give that a try? All right, so you might be wondering why I haven't given you any specific tools in this talk on how to do evangelism. I haven't given you Two Ways to Live or an Intro to Alpha or anything like that. And those are all really good things. And you can find those online. You don't need me to tell you about those. We thoroughly endorse approaches like that. But what I do want to do is encourage you to start an EPT, an evangelistic prayer team, or join one that already exists, and get connected with City Bible Forum. This is my team, City Bible Forum Hobart, and we do heaps of stuff to engage with the city, to engage with questions of faith, to put on talks, to help send people into their workplaces. And we would love to help you in whatever context that you find yourself. My job at City Bible Forum is to help you with those two tools and that guarantee. I want to help you in your context, in your community, to be a blessing and to be relational and to pray for the workplace that you find yourself in. So if you want to get involved with that, if that sounds like something that is going to be a blessing to your context, doesn't just have to be the workplace, we'd love to help you to be relational and praying in whatever community that you find yourself, then have a chat to me afterwards or subscribe to our news there and find out what's going on. And you may have some really good questions. This may have left you with some really burning questions you want to get answered. You might say, well, work really hard at your job. Isn't that a little bit like salvation through works? Can you talk me through that? Or you might be saying, well, what about other methods? What about leafleting? What about street evangelism? Is that something that I should be doing? Or you might say, well, what about just start telling the gospel to everyone I meet and just see who responds? Or it could be something like, well, I don't have any non-Christian friends, so where should I start there? Those are some great questions, and that's kind of a bunch of things that I wish that I had time for in this sermon, but I didn't. So if you want to talk about any of those things or anything else, please come grab me at the end of today's session and I would love to chat with you more. Let me close in prayer. Lord God, thank you for the places that you have sent each of us. Thank you for the mission fields that you have, in your providence, sent us to. Lord, I pray that in whatever contexts each of us finds ourselves, that we will be a blessing, that we will be able to bring some of your love to that context. Lord, I pray that we will be able to be relational, intentionally relational in these contexts, to do coffee, dinner, gospel, or whatever process works in that context. And Lord, we thank you that when we come to you in prayer, that you hear us, and that sometimes you do answer prayers in a miraculously fantastical way. And we know, Lord, that we can always come to you and ask you, and you will act rightly. Lord, I pray that as we go into this week and into our different communities outside the church, that we might be able to bring some of your light and hope into those worlds. In your holy name, amen.